Well, I'm Jenna Meikle.
And I'm Adam Meikle.
And we're the Night Cafe.
Yeah, we own and operate Meikle Studios and also the Night Cafe.
Meikle Studios has been 9 years in January. It'll be 9 years.
For real?
Nine. Eight. 8 years.
Feels like nine.
Mm-hmm. And then 3 years, October, for the cafe. We were mid-construction, building out the cafe and the bar and the kitchen when all the shutdowns happened. So it's been an interesting 3 years.
Yeah, it took longer than maybe it should have, because everything was slower. It was even hard to get it inspected, get people out to look at what we have, and...
But here we are.
Here we are, yeah. Great. Because you got to find positives along the way, and because of the situation we were put in, and we weren't allowed to have in-person events of any scale at different times, the cafe really kept our family fed. We were able to still have an income and...
And literally, you could come here and cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least feed ourselves.
Yes. So there's kind of a ripple effect. When you mentioned the inspectors couldn't even come in, so it really delayed the opening of your cafe.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, your first day when you're finally like, yes, we can open? How did that feel?
I mean, it was something we'd never done before, so I guess there was more probably... anxiousness than excitement for me.
Well, and you were in Radium installing that public art piece at that time, so it was essentially just myself and Carson, our son. It was pretty quiet back then, so really manageable. A good way to get into it, I think, because it was quieter and slower for food service industries.
Could you tell right away that you're going to be okay? It was going to work out?
Not so much.
In the food industry, what we've discovered and kind of what we've noticed even before we had something is that you have one chance to impress or they might not come back. Like, are we going to provide something that people want or just not impress people and then you have a fight the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
So we did provide something, I guess, that people wanted. I guess it wasn't our intention to... have this eclectic mix of furniture. It's like necessity. We had to find seats for people because it's a lot of money to put chairs in for people, to put tables in, to have all brand new everything. And we knew we couldn't do that.
At that time, the revenue wasn't there to go out and buy. So yeah, the eclectic nature of the cafe was born out of necessity, really.
Yeah. And we've kind of tried to make it work by extreme mismatch. And trying to, I guess, bring people a little bit different environment. A little bit, I don't know, I guess with big paintings on the wall and comfy seats. It's like your living room, more like grandma's house.
Isn't it interesting how you just kind of went with your intuition, and isn't it interesting how when you trust your intuition, how it can work out for the best, and you're like, wow, that really
came together.
Yeah.
It's like we should listen to ourselves more.
That's right.
Gut instinct.
I imagine it attracts people. They walk past and they go, wow, that looks... It matches. It almost matches with the high ceilings, the whole ambience. Is really set up well.
It's kind of funny. We have people walk by all the time, peeking in the windows. What is this place? Is this an antique store? Like, what's going on in there?
Where did you find a lot of your chairs and such?
Well, Church's Thrift Store. They were good. Lots of Marketplace, Facebook, people gifting us some stuff.
People trading for food. We've met a few people that, like, buy and sell antiques. So we've found a few things through those people, too. Some things that we wanted more than needed, I guess.
So you started with the art studio, and was it just, like, sort of like just a coffee bar?
When we first moved here, we noticed that there wasn't too much of a nightlife. So when we started the art studio, it was noon to nine was our hours. We were predominantly open in the evening doing the sip and paint events. So having the night cafe was like a natural addition. Mm-hmm.
So it was originally your idea is to have the art studio?
Yeah.
And then you just kind of added the cafe?
Mm. Cafe was like a dream. Kind of, you know, just to have a little cafe and...
Yeah, it sounds romantic, right? Doesn't sound like a pile of work. We always wanted the cafe and never thought really of opening an art studio. Like, we thought that the art studio was unattainable.
But I guess after we did that for 5-6 years and seeing that was possible, it was just like the next risk we could take. Mm-hmm.
What else can we add to Salmon Armor? How can we be...
Yeah, we were just, those first years being open with the art studio, just recycling all the wine bottles and the pizza boxes, and we realized there was a bit of a niche there that we could fill.
Yeah, we pulled special event license, or like permits to serve wine, but then people would bring their own food. So then at the end of the week, yeah, it's just a pile of recycling. I noticed like maybe we should provide food and get a liquor license, and so that we can keep things in-house.
You had a little coffee bar going?
We tried. Our espresso machine is vintage, so it was a lot of repairing it to get it up to what it is today.
It took two machines and then put them into one.
Yeah, so we drug it around with us, just working, tinkering on it, and then finally, 2020, we had it up and running just in time for the opening of the night cafe.
You replaced almost everything on it.
We even had to bring it to Nelson, to the espresso medic, he calls himself.
Just to figure out what we were missing.
Yeah.
It was the boiler, apparently.
Mm-hmm. There's a tear in the boiler.
So it wouldn't produce steam, wouldn't produce pressure. After I replaced like flow meters and pumps and group heads and...
So it almost just remained a decoration?
Yeah. It was a decoration. Yeah, we had people ask us, oh, does this thing make paint?
Would you say diversifying is sort of a necessary strategy for successful business in Salmon Arm?
Yeah.
Definitely. The cafe is more of a convenience good, whereas like the art studio aimed more at people achieving like a lifestyle goal or like a almost like a luxury item with commissioning paintings for their homes, because painting is like therapeutic and that kind of thing, whereas the cafe is more convenience good, like come in, get a coffee, get a crepe, get a pizza. Mind you, the cafe, I feel like it's kind of done more than just meeting a basic need.
Yeah,
we have a lot of celebrations that happen in the cafe, which is nice that can accommodate birthdays and
anniversaries. And there's even people that have went on first dates here and then now are married. Wedding photos here or their engagement photos here, kind of a, or even come back years later with a baby and said this is where they met. It's pretty neat. You get a sense of community without going anywhere. People come to you. It's kind of neat. I get to see friends pretty much every week, and I get to see family just about every week.
Yeah.
If we didn't have this, then I would have to make that larger effort, I guess. It's not an easy way to be friends or family with someone, is to just open a restaurant and they come to you, but it's a benefit for sure, I think.
That's like super cool, yeah.
Yeah, like a gathering place. Yeah.
I've had that experience playing down at the wharf with my guitar, and usually once a summer or so I get to play at a wedding, and people will approach me and say, hey, we heard, you know, would you play at our wedding? And I'm like, sure. But it's the same thing, I get to belong to get to meet these families, these groups of people, and they're making me a part of it, and it's a really cool feeling. And I get to contribute, and they tell me, wow, that really made us happy or whatever, and it's, yeah, I know, it's a great feeling. Yeah,
that's pretty neat, eh?
So this place is like a holistic approach, the mind, body, spirit.
Definitely feed your soul.
We have regulars that insist on their particular table. They just have found where they like the best. It's pretty neat. Even their particular server, mm-hmm. they would like to be served by, and I guess just to get that same experience every time.
Mm-hmm. How many staff do you have?
I think we have 8 staff members. Some of them are just part-time at the moment. In the summer months, 8 to 10 people.
What's that like, being able to say to yourselves, you know what, we're doing well enough that we can actually provide employment for others?
That's one of the coolest parts that I love about it is being able to provide income or...
job and income, helpful.
Security for yeah. people.
We've had a few employees for years now.
Yeah.
And we keep on like asking them, do you enjoy this work? Like, why do you come every week?
Why do you keep coming back?
Trying to figure out like what we can do better, or because you hear of those great employers out there that win awards for being great employers, and they have things that they do that their employees like. And we've kind of figured out that they like the work environment. They know what to do, so we don't have to micromanage. Mm-hmm. Like you can delegate. But if you provide them like a place that they actually want to come, then they keep coming back. It's kind of neat. Even if they don't like the work, they know that they're not going to have a hard time. It's going to be okay.
Work-life balance. I'm trying to think how many times we've said, no, you can't take that day off for whatever, like we just make it work. So trying to encourage a good like life and work balance with people. We're working owners in the business still, so we're in the trenches with them, and I think that adds a mutual respect to like we keep each other accountable, I feel.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about how your menu started?
It's one of those necessity things again, huh? Like limitations of space.
We have a very small kitchen at the moment.
And the capabilities of the space, too. So we'd like to cook a crepe and put some strawberries on. You don't need a grease hood and fire suppression. And who doesn't like crepes, right? Not very many people. And then we couldn't cook proteins inside, so we decided to go with a wood smoker to cook all our proteins, which gives it a unique flavor and a unique menu, I guess.
Is that because you lacked the ventilation and all that kind of stuff? Okay.
Yeah. In the beginning, we had some mentorship that was critical at that time. It was a big blow to our confidence, having all the shutdowns happen and us trying to get this going. So it was kind of a scramble, like, what are we doing? Like, you know, and some dear friends of ours mentored us through, you know, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about, you know, think small, grow, like start it organically. And then we found crepe makers on Marketplace again, and so we purchased those, and it was a real gradual thing to go from crepes and espresso, and then we got our little fire pizza oven, so we had some pizzas, and then the smoker came along, the wood-fired smoker, doing brisket and the pork belly burnt ends, adding that to our pizza and adding that to our crepes, and then just growing it from there.
Yeah. And now you have the...
It's still pretty much just the same equipment. Yeah.
Yeah, we've added a few.
With our expansion, we'll be expanding the kitchen, adding a forno style pizza oven so we can cook more than 2 pizzas at one time. maybe do some breads as well. We're at the blueprinting stage right now with the expansion, taking over the next bay here. I don't know what the wait time is on the pizza oven and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's sort of another sort of an indicator that everything's going pretty good then.
Yeah, if you're not growing, you're staying the same or you're shrinking. And that's right. Kind of where we were stuck. Had to grow or we had to decide to
I feel like it never comes at a good time.
No.
Growing and expanding, it's... Maybe it's like our signature move.
Yeah, things go...
The worst time. You know, food service, places closing, doors closing, shops closing.
Patrons are down 50% across the province. Interest rates are jacking 2 basis points this week.
Feels like an uncertain time, but we're doing it.
Main thing is to persevere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remain relevant and not... stagnant.
What's the art community been like, or what, how's the response been to the art studio?
Good. Yeah, we've met lots of artists for sure, and really the studio is geared more towards people that don't paint. It's geared towards beginners,
making the arts,
getting anybody into the arts,
making the arts accessible instead of exclusive.
Yeah.
Because it seems like art's one of those things, like, I don't know, that only the genius can paint. Well, that's not true. Like, anyone can paint, for sure. Especially, I mean, there's so many styles in paint. It can be modern, it can be abstract, it can be hyper-realism, impressionism. There's always a style for someone, so it should be accessible. But it comes across as this, like...
Unattainable,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But with a little bit of mentorship, like, man, people can paint.
It's so neat to see what people can do when they come in for just something simple like a paint night. You get some really like, oh, you might want to keep up with this.
Yeah, and the more you do and more you show people what you've done, the more confidence you get to maybe leave some of your creative lines or your mark making instead of making everything perfect.
And when you first started, did you have plans to have certain art programs, or did that kind of evolve also?
We had to make the art studio viable when we first opened, so classes was kind of like, oh, we better get on, you know, the art camps and the oil painting 101.
It was the realtor that showed us, like, have you ever thought about paint nights? And then we just ran with it.
So another example of a community.
Community, yeah. Yep.
We have often said that...
We've never been to a paint night.
No.
Ever.
No. One day.
I wonder what it's like.
But we've often said that we didn't know if it would have worked as well in a different community, but Salmon Arm has this magical sense of community. And
yeah.
Everybody's trying to help everybody for the most part. That's what I've seen.
Lenny Wells.
Yeah.
Century 21, February 19, 2016. Friends of mine often participate in paint night, which I would think would go over well in this town.
And that was it. But he totally set us on that path. Like, have you thought of this? And we had. We had thought about, like, the academic, right? Teach them the basics or build on the basics, not just have fun for a couple of hours. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really almost a selfish thing, because we did it for just revenues to, you know, sales. But then it ended up changing you as an artist too. Like, can you speak to that? How?
The thought of 20 novice painters coming in and then me somehow guiding them through a painting in an hour and a half or 2 hours was just like a stressful thing that I didn't want to do. But I would never go back. I would never stop teaching. It makes me such a better artist, and it keeps me humble. And it's like they'll ask me questions that I haven't even thought of. And I have to come up with an answer, or I kind of look like a bonehead a little bit. So I have to work through with them and tell them that, like that's a good question. I don't even know. Let's do it together and work through it. I've learned more about painting through teaching than I ever could through books, or now we're in the age of YouTube. When I learned how to paint, there was just books.
How long have you been painting?
Well, since I was 15, I guess. So, 23 years. My dad brought me to an artist studio, and I walked in there and thought, no way. Like, people get paid to paint still? I just always thought that was like a Renaissance thing. Like, the church commissioned you to do the ceiling, so that's how you got paid as an artist. I didn't realize as a child that artists existed still, that people actually did that for a living. And from that day on, I started painting and never stopped. I wanted to achieve what that artist did. He had a beautiful studio. He did huge, huge big pieces of art, like mostly wildlife. He was like that Ducks Unlimited kind of crowd. And he was successful, and still is. He's backed away from that a bit, but he's a wonderful artist. And I just, yeah, I was inspired. And I knew one day that I would be able to oil paint like that. I'm getting close.